My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French, and these are my rants. Happy, happy Wednesday. It is hump day. Tyrants, we made it through another week. I am so sorry that today's episode is up a little bit later than it usually is on a Wednesday morning. But you know what? You know what? I watched the most flabbergasting show I've ever seen in my life last night. And I mistakenly had watched this prior to when I was supposed to be filming the podcast. And that show is called Baby Reindeer on Netflix. And all I'm going to say is, you know, if it's maybe already starting to get a little dark outside, you live alone, and you've already had people in, you know, past lives break into your house while you're there, maybe this ain't the show for you. Because this show gave me so much freaking anxiety that I couldn't record the podcast. Like, I was so flustered. I sat down and tried to record the podcast. I'm not kidding. 10 times after I watched that. And I couldn't even speak. I couldn't talk. I couldn't get my words together. And don't you worry, that energy really translated into my evening. I tossed and I turned and I dreamed of what I don't need. I need a hero. I literally had nightmares all night. I tossed and I turned and I rolled around that big California king size bed and I got absolutely zero sleep. Zilch. Not an ounce. Because of stress, depression, anxiety, nervousness. Yeah, so maybe just proceed with caution when, you know, press and play on that little remote of yours on Netflix to play Baby Reindeer. Now, I haven't finished the show, so I'm not going to give all my thoughts away, and I don't want to, like, you know, say any spoilers. I feel like it's a pretty new show, and I feel like it's kind of making the rounds. I feel like it's the talk of the town right now. It's not typically a show that I would press play on, but I've heard so many people talking about it. Long story short, it's like based on a true story, and I guess the guy who actually happened to is the guy who stars in the show. Like, he's reliving his experience through this show, but like it actually happened to him. And long story short, he like gets this stalker. And yeah, I'm about halfway through. I had to turn it off and turn on an episode of Housewives, and that did not help, honestly. But yeah, it's just, without like giving anything away, it just, stalkers are kind of like just an interesting phenomenon to me. They really terrify me, especially because I've just learned through like Trisha Paytas's podcast and Tana Mojo's podcast that, and I mean, I feel like even you just see celebrities with stalkers all the time, Kendall Jenner and blah, blah, blah. And until a stalker like does something to you physically, like there really isn't much that the law does to support you with a stalker. Like, even if they literally break into your house, like if they don't steal anything, if they don't hurt you or whatever, like they'll get booked and then they'll pay bail and then they'll get right back out. So it's, I don't know, stalkers are just really scary to me. And obviously, like, living my life so publicly and, you know, with social media and stuff, I mean, I don't like really think about it too much, but the show just like really made me think about it. And obviously, you guys know, if you guys are OGs, that back in the day in COVID, someone tried to break into my house while I was home in the middle of the night. And that's just been like a hot button for me. I have security now. Thank God for security systems in your homes. You guys, you don't have to live in a big house or whatever to have a security system. I highly, highly, highly recommend getting a security system just for like that ease of mind. I don't know. I have one. I have like ADT. It's like $60 a month. And honestly, it's the best $60 I spend throughout the month, because just that peace of mind knowing that even if someone comes and tries to snatch me up in the middle of the night, there will be an alarm going off and someone will hear me and I'll be okay, hopefully. Anyways, wow, just really bringing a really calming, really joyful energy to you guys this Wednesday morning. But anyways, maybe I'll give my, I'll let this show simmer for a little bit and I'll give my thoughts maybe next week when you guys maybe have some time to watch it, if you want to watch it. Beware. It is, I don't think it's maybe as scary as I'm leading on. Like, it is freaky, but like it is kind of comedic as well, the way that it's filmed. But I think just because I was alone and it was late at night and I already was like, guys, something is up with me these days. You guys know I'm not a napper. I fell asleep on the couch yesterday for like 2 hours in the middle of the day. It was so random. I didn't even, like, I would net, if I'm gonna nap, it ain't gonna be on the couch that I have. You guys know I spent an arm and a leg on this bitch, and it might not be known as the most comfy thing ever, if I'm keeping it freaking real. It's not the most comfortable thing ever, but it is cute, and it's just not, like, one that you would really nap on. And I live in a studio apartment. My bed's two steps away. I literally sat down. I was trying to be productive and have a little spring cleaning moment. You know, it's spring. Oh, it's spring. Happy May. It's gonna be May. It's May, everyone. Congrats. So I was doing a little spring cleaning, you know, just trying to get my life in order, clean out my drawers, you know, when you have dressers, and if you guys have seen pictures of my apartments, like, I have two dressers. So I have like 8 sets of drawers. It's a lot of drawers. And what, you know, all it takes is one day of me stress getting ready, and those drawers look like Hurricane Katrina. Just plowed through them. They look like a tornado. Just blazed on through those drawers. So, yeah, I basically had to take everything out and refold them all, put them all away. And I was trying to, you know, get stuff out of there and be like, oh, I don't really wear that anymore. I'll take it to Goodwill, or I'll take it to whatever, Plato's Closet or whatever. Let's just say out of the 8 drawers I pulled, one item. I pulled one item out. And I'll probably end up putting it back in. So, yeah, the spring cleaning didn't really work very well. But it is all folded. I'll give you that. I maybe need to go back through. I need someone to come over and be like, that's ugly. You're never going to wear that again. But my issue is if I get rid of something, and it's like, you know, maybe an ugly neon t-shirt or whatever, not a shirt that I would normally wear, but then in 7 years, when a dear friend of mine has a neon themed party, maybe I'm going to want to wear that neon t-shirt that I've had for 10 years. You know, you never know. Let's be honest, I probably won't, because I'm always looking for an excuse to buy a new outfit. And I'd probably just end up buying a new neon item, and that neon t-shirt will be at the bottom of my dresser for the next 5 years. But you know what? Anyways, nonetheless, that's not what we're talking about. I was doing some spring cleaning, you know, boom, 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 boom. I sat down on the couch for about 2 seconds to relax. Boom, wake up 2 hours later. Excuse me, sir. Who do you think you are sleeping in the middle of work day? You got shit to do. Get your ass up and get to work. Like Kim Kardashian said in the famous Variety interview, no one wants to work these days. And guess what? I'm one of those people. I don't want to work. And after I do about 2 hours of work, I'm ready to sit my ass on the couch and take a nap. That's where we've come at. That's where we're at in my journey. I'm just an old man, and I get it now. You know, you do some work, you sit down, you nap, you're like, oh. And I'm turning into one of those people that can sleep anywhere. No, I used to only be able to sleep in a California king bed with a Four Seasons pillow. And now I'm falling asleep on the most uncomfy couch in America. Something is really up. Something is in the air. I don't know. But anyways, I think I was already just kind of in a weird mood, and maybe that's why it registered as scarier to me. But I'm curious your guys' thoughts. Trust me, like I said, I'm only halfway through. I need to finish it tonight. The episodes are short. They're only like 35 minutes. But if you guys have watched it, send me a DM. Let me know your thoughts. I'm so curious what you guys think. Anyways, like I said, it's May. Happy May, everyone. We're in just full on, full speed ahead. The Prindle is in drive, and we're headed straight into summer. Summer's right around the corner, and guess what? I'm scared because that means I'm about to be outside in these streets, if you know what I mean. And it's a lot. I feel like you wait for summer for so long and then bam, it's here. And then it's just like so many events, so many things to do. People always want to go on trips and this, that's my birthday, blah, blah, blah. I'm stressed. I need to get my ass in the gym for the next 30 days and I need to not get off that treadmill. Because if someone tries to invite me to the beach right now, guess what? The answer is going to be N-O. No. The only time I'm taking off my shirt is if I'm in an enclosed backyard with my closest friends and family. You will not judge me. Because I'm not ready. I'm not ready for summer. But anyways, I am kind of ready. I you guys know I my energy is definitely dependent on the weather. And the weather's been so gorgeous in L.A. lately. And just like beautiful blue skies. So hopefully I don't jinx it. Knock on wood. But this weekend was great. I had a great, great weekend. I hope you guys did as well. But there's no way in hell that your weekend was better than mine. And if you guys follow me on Instagram, then you maybe already know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I went to an event this weekend called the Daily Front Rose Fashion Los Angeles Awards. It's their 8th annual award show. And they just give awards to like big celebrities like hairstylists, their stylists, model. Like it's just like fashion awards that are for people that maybe aren't really recognized in the industry too much. And I've been going for a while, actually. I think, so this is the 8th annual one here in LA, and I think I've been to maybe 4 or 5 of them. The first one I went to, I think it was Lady Gaga who announced, it's like a very small room. I've talked about it here on the podcast before, but it's like a very small room. There's maybe, I don't even know, like 200 people, 100 people. And it just feels very intimate. There's like maybe 6, 7 awards. And it's always like big names announcing the awards because it's like Lady Gaga's hairstylist. And so then Lady Gaga will present the award. And in years past, I've seen Lady Gaga. I've seen Kendall Jenner, last year, if you guys remember, it was Kim Kardashian, Northwest, and Miley Cyrus. Like, just so, I cannot believe that was a year ago. Because I feel like it was just a few months ago that I was sitting here talking about Miley Cyrus coming out, and I was so shook, and Kim with Northwest. Do you guys remember me talking about this award show last year? Like, that feels like it was last month. This is crazy. But anyways, so this year, you know, I'm excited. Jose obviously came with me, Miss Josefina Cuervo. It's like Sunday night and it's very cash. It's like starts at like 5:30. You go, you have like cocktails in the garden at Beverly Hills Hotel. And then the award show starts at 6:30 and it lasts maybe like an hour and a half. Like it's a very short evening. It's a Sunday night. And I wore this gorgeous, sickening blue outfit. If you guys want to go check out my Instagram. And I wore blue contacts. And I won't lie. If I had blue eyes, it would be over for you hoes. It would be over. Like, I would be on the cover of a magazine. I would be in movies. I would be in a Marvel. I'd be a superhero. I would be on the next, like, reboot of Twilight. Like, I'd be a supermodel. I would honestly rule the world and no one could tell me anything. But guess what? God knew that. And God knew that if I had blue eyes, that maybe I'd be a little too powerful and a little too cocky and a little too airheady. So what did he do? Poop. You get poopy brown eyes. Poopy brown eyes for Thai French. Not beautiful blue, sky blue eyes. Mine are kind of, what's the word? Hazel. Is that the color? Hazel eyes. They're like, it depends on the lighting. Most times they look brown, but sometimes I'm like, whoa, they look really green. So, you know, it kind of depends. Not that, I mean, blue is better. And let's be honest, we can all be honest. Blue eyes are better. There are people in this world that are sick and twisted. And one of them goes by the name of Chelsea Gustafson. Oh my God, I've talked about this before. My friends' names, like they're what are they called? Their maiden names will just always be their names to me. I can't get their names right. Chelsea Curtis. Sorry, Chelsea. I'm the What We Said podcast. She always talks about how she would sometimes want brown eyes. Maybe I'm getting this wrong, but I swear she said that. And I'm like, you deserve absolute prison. Like, dark hair with blue eyes, like, it is just superior, and it is just stunning, and it is just gorgeous. And you know what I realized? People are changing their face. They're changing their hair color. They're changing their waist. They're putting on Skims. They're doing this. They're doing that. Why can't I wear colored contacts to an event? Like, people do makeup. People wear wigs. People do whatever. Like, great. If I want to have blue eyes for this outfit because I think it's going to really pull out the blue of the Burberry fit, then I'm going to wear blue colored contacts. And trust me, I'm no stranger to colored contacts. I went through a phase in 2020, which obviously I think we were all going through a lot in 2020, if you know what I'm saying. But I went through a phase in 2020 where I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be a blue-eyed bitch, and I'm going to wear blue colored contacts. I'm going to wear them forever. And eventually people will just always think that my eyes are blue. And yeah, that lasted about 8 months. I won't lie. And trust me, 8 months when the world was shut down. The world was shut down. No one was going anywhere. No one was going outside. I was going to Tessa and Cole's Airbnb before they had moved to Los Angeles and wearing blue colored contacts. For fucking what? For what? Like, I would literally like get up. It was part of my morning routine. I would get up, you know, do my whole thing, put blue colored contacts in, and not leave the house. Because we were in a worldwide pandemic. We were in a pandemic. I wasn't leaving the house. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. And the only people I was seeing was Tessa, who I ain't fooling her ass. She already knows I got brown eyes. So, you know what? I was good. I was going through a lot. I was going through a lot. This was also after the break-in, you know, to loop it back around to that. So, anyways, I already had the blue colored contacts from my blue-eyed phase. Yes, that was 2020. So they might be, you know, maybe a little expired, maybe like 4 years ago, but they were unopened. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I just open them up? Why don't I just have blue eyes for the day? Anyways, I won't lie. I felt pretty gorgeous. I felt pretty stunning. I wore this gorgeous Burberry bright blue fit plaid moment. The blue eyes. It was kind of iconic. But anyways, so Josefina Cuervo and I, we roll up. And immediately, you know, I've learned my lesson from years past into Coachella. Immediately before you go to the bar, before you get a drink, like, you gotta just get the pick, secure the pick. Once I know I got a good pick, then Booze Hound USA, I'll go to the bar back to back, and then I can have fun, then I can enjoy, then I can chat, then I can mingle. If I start mingling with people, and you know, then all of a sudden the people come and they're like, oh, please see to your seat so that we can get the award show started, ma'am, I'm gonna need you to back off because I need to get a photo. So we get in and, you know, we're taking photos. We're crushing it. Josefina Cuervo, thanks for the help. And we get a cute pic. We get a cute pic. I won't lie. And then we, you know, we hit the bar. We're getting some drinks. We're having fun. We're chatting. We're mingling. My manager was there. And then the award show starts. And as we walk into the award show, who walks behind me? None other than Kris Jenner. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Kris Jenner is about 6 feet away from me. Ma'am, you are my mother. You are an icon. You are a legend. You are a billionaire. You are everything. Yeah, and they were filming for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I don't know if this will make it in, but you bet I was walking back and forth trying to get in the background of a shot to keep up with the Kardashians because, hello, bucket list, check, check. She was with Rachel Zoe. I don't really know anything about Rachel Zoe, but they were together. They were chatting. She was filming. Seeing Kris Jenner in person, I posted her in my photo dump if you guys want to go see the photo of her. She's in the background of my shot. I'm like drinking my drink. It's just so fascinating to watch how she moves because she literally has a team of like 20 people around her at all times, like carrying lighting, carrying cameras. Like, it is crazy. But it's also just so crazy to see, especially someone like Kris Jenner. Like, I've seen a lot of celebrities before, and like, it's always cool and it's always weird, and you always just feel like you already know this person. But especially with someone like Kris Jenner, who is on a reality show and has been for literally 20 years, like, it just hits a little bit different because you know so much about this person. You see this person's home. You see this person's vulnerable sides. Like, what happens between their family? Like, you just know everything. Everyone knows everything about Kris Jenner. Like, and so it's so weird to see them in person and to have her be so close to where I can hear her voice and see, like, the cameras and the lights and the whatever. It almost, like, didn't feel real. Like, I was like, Jose, hurry, get a photo of her in the, like, with me and, like, take a photo. She's so close to me, please. And it just doesn't even look real in the photo. Like, it looks like I'm standing in front of, like, a wax figure. Like, I don't know how to describe the feeling. I think also possibly because I didn't say anything to her. Literally, there was a point where we were trying to find her seats and she was filming and she was going to her seat. And you just see this barricade. They don't have someone that's like, oh, excuse me, like we're coming through with the cameras or whatever. No, they just barrel across like a stampede and hope that you move out of the way. Like, I literally had to step back 15 steps because they were coming through. And I was just like, what the heck? Like, please say excuse me. And I don't know. So it'd be different if maybe I had a conversation with her and I said something to her. And then maybe it would have felt a little bit more real. But it just felt like I was looking at a wax figure or like I was watching the show. It just didn't feel real. But it was so cool. Like, being that close to Kris Jenner. Like, she is just such an icon. I'm obsessed with her. I'm literally obsessed with her. But anyways, so then we take our seats, Josefina Cuervo and I. And Josefina Cuervo also was looking very dapper. Let me give a shout out. Josefina Cuervo, you were looking gorgeous. And we take our seats. And don't worry, we weren't going to be those people getting up and down from our seats during an award show. So we did make sure we had about 4 cocktails at our seats ready to go in between the awards. And the awards are about to start. And who walks in and sits about 4 rows in front of us? Doja Cat. What? That's the thing about these award shows that make it so exciting is you never know who's going to be there. You don't know who's getting presented with an award until you're there. Like the Grammys and stuff, you know who's in the running. So you know who's probably going to be there at the red carpet and stuff. But with these, obviously they're a much smaller scale than the Grammys and stuff. But you don't know whose hairstylist, whose stylist, what model is getting an award. So as an attendee, you're just hoping for the best. And, you know, your wheels kind of start turning in your head. The night before, I was thinking, like, who is just killing it this year in a stylist way? And I was like, okay, Zendaya's probably going to be there. You know, maybe La Roche's, whatever. You know, maybe Taylor Swift, maybe Beyonce. You never know. Like, last year was Miley Cyrus. Like, what? I would have never guessed that in a million years. And when we were outside in the garden having drinks, La Roche was one of the last people to walk the carpet. And we heard some security guy or a photographer be like, oh, she went straight into the back. Like, we'll have to take photos of her inside. And me and Jose were like, oh, okay. So it's Zendaya. Zendaya is giving an award to La Roche for being the best stylist. And I was like, this makes so much sense. He killed it with the Dune press tour and with Challenger's movie, which I still need to see. It looks so good. I need to see it. And then I'll give my review for you guys. But yeah, I was like, okay, this is it. This is amazing. And I love her and I've met her before and I feel like she'd be so nice. I'm going to go up, whatever. It wasn't. It was Doja Cat. And once again, it hits in a different way than the Kris Jenner thing because I just saw her headline Coachella. Like, what? Like, you were just headlining one of my favorite festivals of the year 2 weeks ago. And I was so far away and I was watching you perform this, like, such iconic performance. And then now you're 4 feet in front of me. And, like, half the people aren't even looking at you. Like, it's as if you're just another one of us. It's so crazy. And this event feels very cool because it's so intimate, like I said, and there's not really a ton of influencers. It doesn't feel like an influencer event. It's all like industry peeps. It's like hairstylists, their assistants, like the people's families who are being awarded, and, you know, maybe a handful of models and influencers. Like, I only knew, did I even know any other influencers there? I think I maybe knew like two or three other people, like vaguely. It's all like PR people and whatever. It's a very intimate event. And I feel like as a celebrity, that feels more fun to be at an event that doesn't feel like a ton of influencers, you know, gawking at you. Though I was gawking at her. I was sitting there gawking. I'm the one influencer that gets the bad rep that was just sitting there, you know, being like, oh my gosh, Doja Cat's in front of me. And me and Jose were dying. Anyways, so then, you know, I'm just happy to see her. And I just am happy that, you know, she's going to go on stage. She's going to announce her stylist, Brett. And I'm like, that's good enough for me. This is so cool. I'm like 20 feet away from her. She's going to get on a microphone and say something. And, you know, people waited all day in the desert at Coachella to be this close to her. So this is just a really cool moment. I'm trying to soak it in. And anyway, so the award shows, the award gets, the show gets started. And it was hosted by this girl named Celeste Barber, who is a comedian. And she actually hosted, I think, the first year that I went with Lady Gaga. And she's so funny. She's like an Australian comedian. Her whole thing is like, I've made out with Tom Ford. She did this campaign with Tom Ford and it was so funny. She showed the video. And anyways, then let's see who the, I'm trying to, let me just tell you everyone that won to start. And then I'll tell you who presented the award to them. So the awards were Hairstylist of the Year, and it was to Adir Abergel. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. And then Amelia Gray got Model of the Year. Anastasia Soiree, I don't know if I'm saying that right, got Beauty Innovator of the Year from Anastasia Beverly Hills. Brett Allen Nelson got Music Stylist of the Year. Bob Mackie got Lifetime Achievement Award. Elsa Hosk got Fashion Entrepreneur of the Year. Erin Walsh got Style Curator of the Year. Jerry Lorenzo from Fear of God got Designer of the Year. Meyer Rushon got Editor of the Year. And Rachel Goodwin got Makeup Artist of the Year. So you guys might not know those people because they're the people behind the celebrities, you know, the hairstylists, the whatever. But the people who presented these awards included Doja Cat, Jennifer Gardner, Katie Grand, Kris Jenner, La Roche, Lisa Rinna, Rachel Zoe, Ryan Murphy, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Carlos Nazario, and Danny Michelle. I mean, let's just talk about what we want to talk about, okay? Bob fucking Mackie, aka the person who literally invented every iconic Cher look there is, like that, he is such an icon, not only to the gays, but just to the fashion industry as a whole. And the fact that I was in the same room as him and he just seemed so nice and he came up and was just so appreciative of this award, and to have La Roche present him this award, which is just, La Roche is an icon. And I obviously all those big names, and Doja Cat was so cool and whatever, but something about being around someone like Bob Mackie just hit me a little different, because Bob Mackie has been in this industry for so long. The things that he has seen, the people that he has styled, the outfits that he has created, like they could do a whole Met Gala just on Bob Mackie. Like Bob Mackie is a legend, and you know, his ties into Drag Race and everything, and RuPaul is such a fan. And I don't know, I was just literally gagged when I saw him and when he got up there and when they announced him. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar, hello. Now, me and Josefina Cuervo got in a little tittle-tattle about this, because he was like, oh my gosh, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm like, who is that? What is Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I don't know what that is. But what I do know this bitch from, which is iconic and lives rent-free in my brain, if anyone knows me, is Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo. Like, we've got Daphne in front of me? You're telling me we've got Daphne standing in front of me from Spooky Island? That's the most iconic thing ever. And she looked so freaking good. Like, everyone there looked insane. But Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, wow, you are really aging like fine wine. Lisa Rinna, I mean, hello. You guys know I'm a Real Housewives bitch. And you guys know that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is my favorite franchise. Whenever any of you guys DM me and ask where to start with Housewives, I tell them, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season one. Literally, Lisa Rinna is such an icon. And I've said, you know, negative things about her in the past, about, you know, the show. But at the end of the day, I'm a fan. I love her. The things that she has contributed to pop culture and to Housewives is everything. Pretty much, I was thinking about this even with Doja Cat. And I mean, I guess, okay, so we'll skip over now to Doja Cat. Doja Cat! So cool. But I was thinking about Doja Cat and like Lisa Rinna and just having a podcast. And I think I've talked about this before. Like, it's kind of a trip mentally to have a podcast where you talk about your opinion about a certain moment in time, about a certain instance, about a certain scene, about a certain episode, about a certain song, about a certain album. And if I have something negative to say, then I feel like there's this like looming thought in the back of my head that, you know, that's going to come bite me in the ass one day. Or if maybe I've ever said anything negative about Doja Cat, that now I seem like a fake because I'm like, oh my gosh, freaking out about Doja Cat. At the end of the day, I love pop culture. I love the entertainment industry. I love celebrities. Like, I love all of it so much. And even if I have a negative experience with someone, or if I have something negative to say about a certain album or this, that, whatever, at the end of the day, like, that is just like a fleeting opinion of mine that is probably exaggerated for, you know, entertainment. I'm still obsessed and I will still fangirl. And I said that with Taylor Swift before too, when Tessa came on and we talked about when we went to the AMAs together 2 years ago and Taylor Swift walked in and I like freaked out and jumped up and grabbed my phone. And Tessa was like, you're such a fake ass bitch because you don't like Taylor Swift and you don't listen to her music. And I'm like, yes and no. Like, at the end of the day, I am still so appreciative of everything that Taylor Swift does to contribute to the entertainment industry and to pop culture. Like, I might not listen to Taylor Swift and I might not necessarily like enjoy her music, but I will always stand up for pop culture and, you know, these moments that she is a huge contributing factor to my entertainment for the betterment of my life. So anyways, that's how I felt about seeing Lisa Rinna, because I definitely talked shit about Lisa Rinna here on the show before. And there's definitely been times in which she bugs me on the show, like towards the end of her tenure on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she was definitely getting on my nerves. But I just love her so much. She's such an icon. She's so, I mean, me and Jose quote Lisa Rinna pretty much almost every single time we hang out. Don't you ever go after my husband. Like, literally, the amount of times I've recreated that scene in my head is insane. So I don't know. Always cool to see her. It's definitely not the first time I've seen her before. I've ridden in Soul Cycle classes with her before, but it was cool. Harry Hamlin was there. Yeah, her daughter obviously got Model of the Year. And Amelia Gray, just like watching her grow up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has been so cool. And yeah, to see her get this award was amazing. Yeah, back to Doja Cat. So yeah. So Brett Allen Nelson is her stylist and he got an award. So she presented him an award and she looked so gorgeous in that fur coat and that whole look. She was carrying a suitcase and she just, I don't know if I've ever said anything negative about her before. Like, Doja Cat really isn't like my music that I like just go on and press play when I'm in the car. But like, I do love Doja Cat. And if you guys are the real OGs, then you guys know that I met Doja Cat at the Beyonce party. It all goes back to Beyonce. It all goes back to the Beyonce party in Paris. But I met her and her stylist, Brett, in Paris, and Brett is actually friends with one of my friends here in LA. Like, you know, the WeHo gay scene is a small world. But so I had met her before and I knew that she was nice. Obviously, that was a very, very different scenario. And so I didn't want to like project that onto this situation. But what I did want to say is like, okay, so I guess let me finish saying the story. I feel very chaotic. Anyways, so after the award show, you know, most of the celebrities like will just get up and like scurry immediately because they don't want people coming up to them or whatever. But Doja Cat was kind of just like hanging around, like having a drink, taking photos with like the owner of the Daily Front Row and, you know, just a few other people, like the other people who got awards. And I went over there, and the thing that bugs me most about this award show is halfway through the awards, pretty much everyone leaves. Like, no one stays for the whole award show. So by the end of the award show, like, it is a very intimate setting. I'm talking maybe 50 to 75 people were even left in the room when Doja Cat was, you know, announcing this award for her stylist. And so it feels very intimate. So everyone kind of goes up and is like by the stage and is chatting. And I get close enough to Doja Cat and I'm just like, you know, trying to observe at this point. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, be weird. But then I just saw my opportunity and I was like, Jose, start taking photos. Like, I'm going to talk to her. And, you know, obviously she's got a security guard and he's, you know, sussing out the vibes of if people are cool or not. And I kind of like lock eye contact with her and I'm like, hey, I have two things to tell you. And she was like, okay, go. And so then, you know, we start talking and I was like, okay, so you're not going to remember this, obviously, but we met at the Beyonce Renaissance party in Paris during Fashion Week that was hosted by Tiffany & Co. And you had just kind of revealed your buzzed head. And I told you how much I loved it and how you were really wanting, you were really making me want to shave my head. And she was like, oh, no. And I was like, but you told me, don't you dare, because your hair is so gorgeous. And she was like, period, because it still is. And I was like, exactly. So I just have to say thank you for talking some sense into me and making me not shave my head, because this gorgeous lock of head of hair that I have right now, I've got you to thank. And she was just like, oh my gosh, loving it. Like, she was, so, I mean, obviously she's so nice, like was like laughing and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I told you that because your hair is looking so good tonight. And I was like, also, yeah, I just saw you headline Coachella 2 weeks ago, bitch. Like, you really did that. And she was like, oh my gosh, you're so nice. Thank you. I was like, you killed it. Like, Coachella's my favorite festival. And like, you really did so good. And she was just so nice. And then I was like, can I get a photo? Do you care? And she was like, of course. Like, and then she's just like immediately like posing work, like smizing the house down. Like, I think Doja, the last few years has been kind of going through a lot. Like, not going through a lot. I don't want to project that on her. What I'm trying to say is, like, she's been very polarizing on social media and with her quote-unquote fans and saying she hates them and that she doesn't owe anything to them. And she, like, sometimes leaves her social media and then comes back. And then she feels very, like, messy and almost, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess polarizing is the word I don't know. Just, like, she's doing the most. And a lot of people got really upset with her. And I was one of them, to be honest, just being like, you're doing too much. And you just kind of seem like rude and all these things. But now being two out of two times I've met her, she is so nice. She just has this aura around her constantly that is so happy and cool. And like, a lot of other celebrities feel very intimidating, especially when they're in that caliber of like the rap scene and, you know, the fashion world. And she's wearing this huge fur coat. She's got a buzzed head and she's like basically half naked. And, you know, that would normally feel very intimidating, but she just has this aura around her that is very, very humble and very happy and, you know, inviting. She has this energy that is very electric. And two out of two times I've met her, she's been very nice. And I'm a big, what am I even trying to say? Like, if someone is nice to me one time, like, I will be your fan for life. Like, now, whatever happens on social media, whatever happens in the press, like, you were nice to me, you're talented, like, I have now got your back. And so I got to start putting some respect on Doja Cat's name. Not that I don't know if I've ever disrespected her name, but I've definitely had conversations even off the podcast about her activity on social media and stuff. But now I just feel like it's kind of part of her brand and she's doing it to be polarizing and she's doing it almost as like a persona. Because when you meet her, she's just so sweet. And obviously it was a fleeting moment. Like, she would never remember it. It's very, you know, I maybe was with her for 2 minutes on each occasion. And that's more than all you hoes could say. So... But no, I don't know. It was really cool. And I'm glad that I've talked about this before, but you're never gonna regret going up to a celebrity. You're never going to regret asking for the photo. And guess what? The worst thing that they can say is no. The worst thing that they can do is be rude. And that's fine. I've had celebrities that say no or that were a little bit rude. And guess what? You keep moving because you realize, you know, let me get off my pedestal. They maybe felt overwhelmed. They had a lot of people around them. A, B, C, D, F, G. But then when they do say yes, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. You were just headlining Coachella, literally the biggest music festival in the world, 2 weeks ago, and now you're hanging out with little old me at the Daily Row Fashion Los Angeles Awards, and we got a photo. Like, that is just so cool, and I'm never going to forget that moment, and I'm never going to regret asking for that photo. I wish I would have asked Kris Jenner for a photo, but she's got a team of 20 people around her. Something that I really appreciated about Doja Cat is, like, she didn't come with a huge entourage. She came with her stylist, and she had one bodyguard. That was it. Most of the other celebrities, like, came in through the back. She literally went through the front, like, was in the garden with everyone, walked the red carpet, like, did the whole thing. And I don't know, she doesn't give off diva energy, which I really appreciate because most other girls are giving off diva energy. Anyways, who else there? Oh, gosh. Anyways, that's enough about Doja. This is maybe I don't even know how to explain this because it's maybe only going to be funny to Jose and I. But if you guys watch Drag Race, then you know that they have a partnership with Anastasia Beverly Hills. And they were one of the sponsors, and she was getting an award. And sometimes on Drag Race, the Anastasia Beverly Hills girl comes on to the show and, like, introduces the challenge to the queens. And she's a very recognizable human being. You know, she's always got, like, long pink hair or something. And she's, like, a young, hot, Kylie Jenner-looking gal. And so Kris Jenner comes up onto the stage. And she's introducing her friend, Anastasia Beverly Hills. And me and Jose are, like, you know, getting pumped up. Or Kris Jenner's on stage. We love Anastasia. And onto the stage walks this older woman. And Jose and I are hammered at this point. And we're like, who the fuck is that? That is not Anastasia Beverly Hills. That is not the Anastasia Beverly Hills that they're showing on Drag Race. And we are, you know, trying to be quiet and respectful. Like, we're, like, nudging each other. And we are literally laughing out loud, being so disrespectful at this award show. Like, we're dying. Like, we're like, who is that? And we're, you know, throwing jokes back and forth. We're like, that's Anastasia Beverly Hills from Temu. That's Anastasia Beverly Hills from, like, online. Or, you know, just the dumbest, like, most rude jokes. Then come to find out, the girl that we're seeing on Drag Race isn't Anastasia Beverly Hills. That's Norvina, the daughter of Anastasia Beverly Hills, and really runs the ship and is, like, works as a lot of the face of the company. So then we were like, okay, wow, we feel really dumb. But we were literally laughing out loud. And that's one of those stories that maybe you just had to be there because it doesn't sound as funny as it was. But I promise you, we were crying laughing. Jerry Lorenzo from Fear of God got Designer of the Year. And he is so fine. He is so hot. And then, of course, he's like, I just want to, you know, dedicate this award to my wife. Wife? Well, goddamn. Well, goddamn. Another one. Another one bites the dust. Not that I had any potential. Not that I had any shot or chance with this gorgeous man. But, you know, you can dream. You can dream. But what I'm not going to do is dream about a man with a wife. Anyways, Jennifer Gardner. Hello. 13 going on 30. 13 going on 30. Wait, that's Jennifer Gardner, right? Yeah. I mean, iconic. What can I say? One of the most iconic movies growing up. And she also just looked so sweet and so gorgeous. I won't lie. A lot of these people getting up and announcing or accepting the awards, I was like, keep it brief. You need to shut up. And I'm just kidding. She literally is her character on 13 going on 30. Like, she acts like a 13-year-old, from what I could tell. Like, she just was so youthful and so bubbly and so chipper and, like, so happy. And I was like, it kind of, like, came across a little jarring because you're just like, wow, you are, she almost seemed a little, not high, but, like, high on life. She just was having a great old day and was so chipper. And me and Jose were like, wow, I would like whatever she is having immediately. Anyways, that was pretty much all the highlights of the evening. It was insane. And then, of course, you know, I went out after to WeHo because I was feeling a little drunk. But my outfit was definitely giving award show chic. It was definitely not giving WeHo bars Sunday at 9 p.m. energy. So I did look a little crazy, I won't lie. I think at one point I went to the Abbey, which if you know, you know. But you should not be there at 10 p.m. on a Sunday, especially wearing lace tights, Burberry shorts, and a black button-up with ice blue contacts in. Jesus Christ. No wonder I'm so freaking tired this week. I forgot I went to the Abbey until just now at this moment. Anyways, yeah, so needless to say, you guys probably had a good weekend. I think I had a better weekend, and I'm a Doja Cat stan till the day I die now. Like, I don't even know what to say. And next time I see Kris Jenner, this is now maybe the third time I've been in the same room with her. This is definitely the closest I've ever gotten to her. Next time, I got to take my own advice and just ask for a photo or at least say hello. Like, that's when being in the same room as a celebrity, like, really clicks, you know, is if you actually talk to them, obviously. If you just see them, it's cool and all, but it just doesn't feel real. Anyways, that was my weekend. That was the award show. Now, before we go, you guys are maybe. I just had a stroke. You guys are maybe wondering why I keep saying that I'm going to share my opinion on the TTPD, Torture Post Department, Dead Society Poets, Taylor Swizzle, and the new album, because I've said I'm going to, you know, chat about it. A few things here about Tortured Poets Department. One, I'm scared of you. I'm terrified of your asses. There's a Venn diagram in the world. One circle, Swifties. Another circle, tyrants. There's a small circle in between of Swiftie tyrants. And I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you all. Because I don't want to get up here and lie and just say what you want to hear. I want to give an honest opinion about my thoughts about things regarding Taylor Swift. But out of respect of the Swifties and the Swiftie tyrants, if I don't have anything nice to say, guess what I'm going to do? Shut my trap. That's what I'm going to do in this moment. That's what I've decided to do regarding the album. Now, I haven't listened to the whole album yet because it's so long, and I really am trying to give it a chance and listen to it and listen to the lyrics and, you know, really give it my all. And holy motherfucker, 2.5 hours. Mama, I'm showered, ready, out the house by the time I'm like 10 songs in. So it's taking me a while to get through it all. And I needed to listen to it all like a few times to really grasp which songs I like, which songs I don't. But yeah, for lack of a better description, conversation, reason, I don't have anything to add to the conversation right now that would be positive. So I'm choosing to respect my Swiftie tyrants. And if I don't have anything nice to say, I'm not going to say anything at all. And yeah, I hope that you guys are satisfied with that. Maybe once I listen to it all a few times through, then I'll feel more confident or more grounded in my reasonings of like why I like something, why I don't like something. So maybe I can explain further and maybe it won't just be like, I don't like this. You know, maybe I can give you an explanation of my thoughts. But you know what I really need to do and I want to do, but once again, I'm scared of the Swifties. I want to have just like a dedicated, loyal Swiftie who also is up for conversation and not is just going to come on the defense, that can come on the podcast and really have a conversation about the Swiftie community and the album. And, it, you know, maybe, I don't know, just have a back and forth about like why maybe people think this way, why this way, da, 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 I don't know. Anyways, I'm talking myself into circles with that situation because I'm so scared of you guys. I'm so scared. But I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you have a really long album from one of your favorites. Like, congrats. And she's killing it. Like, she doesn't need me to listen to it. Like, she's breaking all these records. She's top 14 on Billboard. Like, congrats. I'm so happy for you. Enjoy. Enjoy. Anyways, sorry this episode's a little shorter today, but I'm going to get this episode up. So you guys can have an episode today, but I love you guys so much. Sorry again that this episode was a little late, beating a dead horse, but anyways, give me a rating, review, all the things down below, follow me on Instagram, all the things, and I will see you guys on Friday. Yay, 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 yay. Wow, I'm so annoying today. Bye.
Bye.